Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Kings. I should say good night because some people watch at night. Good morning or good night, wherever you are. Today, another one, we're talking about being encouraged and not be weary in well-doing and strength for the battle. Be faithful. There's a lot of things going on with the false light arising, which we want to talk about at the end. It's becoming very obvious that the New World Religion is definitely moving forward. And some of you, if you do not know what that is, we have YouTubes on Gnosticism. Gnosticism and mysticism and all these things are combining. And people don't know what the false light is. And the Bible says the devil's coming as an angel of light. So we have to know the good from the real good, from the truth, because there's so many things that sound good. And we have to stay rooted and grounded. And first I want to talk about people that are weary, because this is a time of great weariness. Lockdowns happening all over the country, different places. If not a lockdown, a riot, all the things I'm not going to go into, you know, if you see the news. But in the midst of this, we have to walk with the Lord and be encouraged and encourage ourselves in Him. And we're not the first people that have went through these kind of trying times. We want to look at Elijah here in 1 Kings 19. And he was the one that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And through the Lord, he defeated all the false prophets. But then right around that same time, something else happened. And you can have a great day. And then the next day, you kind of feel like, wow, what happened to me? I don't know if you've ever been there. But here he's coming from a great place of victory. In verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And now you have to know when you're making an impact for the Lord that you're going to get a pushback. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And this is a spirit that was rising up within Jezebel. And she sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow at this time." So here's a death threat. She's like, well, you killed them, but I'm sending you a death threat myself. And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life. And all of a sudden you can tell another spirit attacked him, because he was fine. He was victorious, but now he's sitting under a juniper tree. And I'm calling all of us today to get out of our juniper trees, because we've been there long enough, and sitting under a juniper tree does not help you. So he went for his life, and he left his servant there. And when you are discouraged, you leave, or if you're deceived, you leave people that are supposed to be in your life. You never want to go and make major decisions when you're under an attack. And what did he do? He left his servant there. That stuck out to me, is you lose things God wants to bless you with in times of discouragement. You push people away that should be helping you. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and he sat down under a juniper tree. Now, it's interesting because a juniper is also known as a broom tree. And they called it a broom tree because they made brooms. They took the sticks and they made brooms out of those branches. And that reminds me of a mess. You know, brooms always clean up messes. And here he was in a mess. And sometimes we sit discouraged or in self-pity because of what we're going through. It's part of life. And he himself went a day's journey. Here he is under a juniper tree, and he requested himself that he's going to die. He said, just let me die. I just want to die. So here's Elijah, having slain 450 false prophets. He's now on the run from Jezebel, who had threatened to take his life. He runs one day. He's supposed to go a long time. He goes one day, and he collapses. Why? Because he started looking at the battle. He started looking in the natural, and that's what we do too. We see the battle. We're living in a life, the world, the flesh, the devil, and we get in our circumstances, we get in reality, we see the attacks coming, regardless if it's physical, emotional, relational, whatever happens, all of a sudden we just get discouraged. And here he sat under a juniper tree, under this big broom stick tree. In other words, he was in a mess. What am I going to do? And he says, I'm defeated. You might as well take my life. doesn't look like I had any more victory than anyone else. You might as well just let me go. And here's our lesson. Whether it's your mess or if it's somebody else's, it's not the time to feel sorry for yourself and get weary. And this is what happens when we get battle fatigued. We get weary. So when we're weary, we have to stay reachable and teachable. Because when we get in pride, we don't listen. So Elijah was going to Horeb, and Horeb means desert. He went one day and collapsed. And what happened? The angel came and told him, this journey is too much for you. Same with us. The battle in the natural is too much for us. I mean, even thinking of another winter of lockdowns coming or whatever might be coming, it's just too much for us to bear. It's like, so how do we get out of this weariness? How do we get out of this discouragement? How do we get out of this battle fatigue? Well, one thing is we have to remember God is never weary. And he says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. So we got to keep coming to the Lord, keep casting our burdens on him, because what we tend to do is do what he did and live life without him. We calculate life without God's help, without God's help. So are we ready to come out from underneath our juniper tree this morning? He was tired and he ran out of gas. It's just like a car. If you don't ever put gas back into your car and you run it, you're going to run out of gas. And this is what's happening. If you don't ever get filled up with the things of God, worship him, keep your eyes on him, you get weary. You run out of gas and you can't go anywhere but putt, putt. You can have a pep talk. Nothing's going to help that car until you fill it. People can try to give you motivation, all that. Until you start getting filled with the Lord, you're going to be empty. Because we're filled with the things of this world and they can't satisfy, they can't help us. And what happens? You get burnt out and you get battle fatigued. So let's look at Galatians 6:9. This is our scripture for today also. Well, there's so much ahead of it, but it says, he that's taught, verse 6, in the word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You think about the end of people's lives and they drank and smoked their whole life and ate bad. You can see that they sowed. They thought, oh, it's not going to catch up with me. But then when they're 60, 70 years old, all of a sudden, body parts start failing. Things start falling. Why? Because they sowed all those years to their flesh, and now they're reaping the consequences. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, because the temptation is to grow weary. When you do the right thing, you think you're going to be seeing rewards. And sometimes when you don't see rewards, you think, what's the use? Why should I even try? Why should I always pour myself into people when they always treat me bad at the end? This is what Paul had to face when Demas left him. He poured his life into Demas. And then Demas, what did he do? He forsook him. Why? Having loved this present world. And we're seeing a lot of people right now leaving the things of God, going into the things of the world. So who gets weary in well-doing? First of all, we all do. We're all tempted to be weary. Those who have seen few results. If you're dieting and you don't lose weight, it's discouraging. Who even wants to try? You want to throw in the towel, you know, give me the chocolate and the pop. You know, this denying my flesh doesn't have great rewards. You get discouraged when you don't see results. We're a result-oriented society. Hunters have antlers on their walls. You go to my brother's Ray's house, you have everything he's ever caught almost is on his walls. And, well, you can see results of a good hunter. If a fisherman catches fish, they take pictures and they stuff it and put it on the wall and they talk about their fish stories, which you never know if they're true or not. But they see results, right? Golfers, they have scorecards, but serving the Lord isn't easy to score. Raising your children isn't easy to score. How can you tell if you're making an impact? How can you tell if you're making a difference? Because it's of the spirit, you can't see it. So as a result of not seeing all your labor, you have a tendency to be discouraged. When you grow weary, you can't see results. So it feels like no results. And that's the thing we have to remember. Even though we don't see results, if we're trying to do good, God sees it. Your kids might not be responding right now, but keep sowing those seeds, keep sowing things, because our rewards come from the Lord. And remember, we're not going to be able to see spiritual results because we get weary if we're trying to see it. And that's why he wants us to walk by faith. Faith is simply not seeing. It's trusting in him. Who else grows weary? Those who are rejected by others face weariness. Rejection hurts. We've all been rejected. Abandonment hurts. For leaders who pour their life into somebody, temptation is always to say, forget it, I'm not going to do this again. I was thinking about Jesus and the banquet and how he told everyone to come and they all made excuses. Think about how discouraged God could be and how many excuses we've made for not serving him and how many people don't serve him now. And, well, I don't like the church and I don't like that. There's so many bad things. There's always these excuses that people put for not serving God. And this is not a good day, really, to be a minister. I don't see anybody running to go become a minister. Why? Because there's a lot of persecution right now. There's a lot of false light. We're going to talk about the false light in a minute here. But you have to guard your heart, because when you're doing the right thing, you can just be tempted to go sit down and feel sorry for yourself. Never again am I going to do that. Never am I going to pour myself into anyone. Samuel took it personally until God told him. Remember, they all wanted a king. Samuel's telling them not to, and finally God said, Samuel, they are not rejecting you. Don't take this personal. They're rejecting me. They want a king they can see. So it's really hard sometimes when you're trying to minister to people and they reject you. They're really not sometimes rejecting you. They're rejecting the God you serve. And if they're doing good with the Lord, they want to see you. But if there's a sin in their life, all of a sudden you're the last person they want to talk to. So we have to be careful that when we're rejected, we realize don't take it personal. This is easy to do when people reject the Lord, but they see you as the messenger and you get rejected as well. You can also get weary and lonely following the Lord. This is a true story. In a cross-country championship in Riverside, California, I'm not going to go into all the details, I just want to get to the main point. 123 of the 128 runners missed a turn. Think of that. They missed a turn. One runner stayed on the 10,000-meter course and began waving for runners to follow him. Only four runners followed him. The rest of them missed the turn, and they all went off course, and they all laughed and mocked them because they didn't realize they were wrong. They thought the one going the right way was wrong. And sometimes when you're going the right way, telling people to get off of that wrong path, it can be lonely because they'd prefer to listen to false teachers over you. Well, so-and-so is popular, I'm following them. This is a popular doctor, and I'm following them. And you try to call them out of there, and because the masses are going the wrong way, it looks like the runners that are going the right way are deceived. This can be very discouraging because you become, wow, why is it only a few of us that see what we're seeing? The masses have never followed God. He's always called a remnant. It's always been a narrow way. So out of the four runners, of all the 128, only four followed the right path. 123 people in this cross-country championship missed the turn. They laughed and thought the four were crazy that stayed on course and didn't follow the crowd. This is a time that you're going to have to know. It can be weary when you're running alone. But when you see things, when God's opened your eyes and you're not following man, but you're following him, you can be laughed at and mocked. People make fun of you. But guess what? When they're down the road and the end comes, they're going to see, wow, did I ever miss it? And that's where we have to trust the Lord. Do you think Noah ever got weary? Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen yet, prepared an ark. He was building something. Everyone mocked and laughed at him, but when it started raining, they weren't laughing anymore. They begged to get in. It can be discouragement, very discouraging when you're going away that nobody else can see yet. You see judgment coming. You see different things. You see a lot of, I see the whole one world religion coming and people don't see it. That's very discouraging because you're trying to wake them up to you're missing the turn. Oh no, we're going this way. We can get very weary of false teaching. Every cult, every false doctrine, every false teaching is either the Bible plus or the Bible minus. Either adding to or taking away. False teaching either seeks to subtract from the Bible or add to it. Or it may turn our attention and devotion from our Lord Jesus to something else. And this is what I see today. Distractions, distractions, distractions. It used to be back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Not so much now, but it was fame, health, big ministries. Well, since this whole stuff happened and the ministries have closed, it's like all of a sudden that's not the push anymore. It's survival right now. But a lot of this false doctrine was about how famous and big you can be. And now the shift is to angels or your trip to heaven. Do you want to go? Today we're taking a trip. You can just go into heaven 3 times a day. You laugh, but this is very popular right now. Trips to heaven or what the Bible tells us about is signs and wonders. They even advertise signs and wonders. I used to be a part of an association. It was signs and wonders camp meetings. I was like, hello? It didn't click back then. A lot of the things I see now, I didn't see then. As you start seeing things, you're like, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Don't you wish you could start over? And you had a really good teacher that could just tell you all the pitfalls to avoid? And most of them are following. They're going down like the 123, down the wrong turn. So it turns our attention to angels, signs and wonders, and today it's love. Everything's love, just love and unity. It's so syrupy. Might look good right now. Just something I grabbed off the internet this morning, which a lot of people are following. Keep your vibrations high. Don't lower your frequency by revenge. It depletes your energy and steals from you. Attract better. You are too great. You are too great to entertain such energies. What is this about? You. This is life without God. This is the universe speaking to you. You're going to hear a lot of these terms mixing in with the Bible on purpose to dilute the real word of God, to get us distracted and to get us weary trying to vibrate. Another one this morning I saw, get back in touch with your soul and raise your consciousness so you can elevate your life. Elevate. Another one, the angels are saying to you today, believe in yourself more and trust the universe. They believe there's a spark within you, and that spark within you is divine, so you've got to find it again. Yeah. And now, this is something that I took off of a very popular magazine, let's put it that way, a very evangelical magazine that's popular, Prophetic Vision, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. But just to get the highlights, this is what's commonplace now. He was in his prayer room, and he's praying for an increase in revelation. The Lord responded with a vision. It's a prophetic invitation to all who want to step into more revelation in this season. Everything's this season. The vision. Now all you have to do is just open up these magazines and everyone's got a vision. Well, what are they doing? They're adding to. They're adding to or taking away, right? So you got to be careful about following people's visions. Suddenly, it appeared that I was in outer space. Stars and galaxies were scattered throughout the vastness surrounding me. Standing in a distance, Jesus had his hand on a steel door frame. Everyone's seeing Jesus these days. Standing at a distance, Jesus had his hand on a steel door frame. Not going through the whole thing. As I moved forward the door frame, Jesus stopped me. He said, "This is serious. If you step through the door, your life will never be the same. There will be a refocus of your time and energy." As I crossed the threshold to the other side, light surrounded me. There seemed to be hundreds of brilliant, shining lights flying toward me at a high rate of speed. Now remember, this is the number one popular Christian magazine that I know of today. The Lord showed me orbit-type lights were revelation lights. They are now words streaming out of heaven. Don't you want a now word from heaven? Oh, my. Then the Lord showed me three things I was to do. Catch the revelation light. How do you catch revelation light? These terms sound so good, but there's no way to get it. Now watch, just keep listening. Consume the revelation light. First you got to catch it, then you got to consume it, and then you got to release it. I opened my mouth and let the revelation light come in. It seemed odd because I could have as many as I wanted and not be full. Then the vision came to an end. There is enough in the Word of God. There is enough in the Word of God and in the prophetic word revelation pouring from heaven right now, they're saying, to solve every problem on this earth. All you need to do is get that revelation. Just go out and catch the light. Open your mouth. Go outside. What is revelation? I mean, this is crazy, but this is number one what people are reading. What is revelation? Revelation is when God gives you something you didn't know. Now here's the catch. You do not need a specific scripture to gain revelation. See the dissing the Bible? You don't need to get it in the Bible. But then of course they'll go, well, God's word is active and alive. But you don't need a specific scripture to gain revelation. So how are you supposed to get it? They never tell you how to get it. You have to go in orbit. You have to go collect the light bulbs. Oh, now they tell you, here's the simple steps to activate revelation. You want to be activated? Cleanse your image center. What's your image center? Cleanse your image center by praying. And then he tells you what to pray. He goes on and on. What is this? This is Gnosticism. And this is mysticism, disguised as biblical Christianity in a so-called biblical Christian magazine. Gnosticism, what is it again? I do have YouTubes on this. It's having knowledge. We want more revelation. I'm asking, well, you know, God says go read your Bible and you'll get more revelation. Oh, no, we want some kind of an experience. We want to catch orbs. We want angels. See, this is the part of where 123 people are going to miss the turn because they don't want to follow the Bible. They want an experience. And we were raised in the prophetic to have experiences. You just have to sing and worship 45, 50, maybe an hour, and now you're in an altered state of consciousness, and now you're open up to these orbits and these lights and all these different things. Because you look in the natural, you see nothing. You got to work yourself up into this stuff. So Gnosticism is having knowledge, emphasize personal spiritual knowledge over biblical teachings. You don't need the Bible to get special revelations. Well, how do you know you're not being deceived then? Well, the Bible says we need discernment. We need to test the spirits. Well, we're testing the spirits right now, and it doesn't say anything about going out into outer space and collecting, open up your mouth and getting revelations. Right. Having knowledge emphasizes personal spiritual knowledge over biblical teachings. It's secret knowledge. Not everybody's going to get this, but you're special. You're so special. Secret knowledge. superior knowledge. This is Gnosticism. How are you going to get this knowledge? It's not by the Bible. You don't need Bible verses to get revelation, but you're going to get it by angels. You're going to get it by visions. You're going to get it by dreams. This is Gnosticism. You have a special experience. You have a revelation experience, and you have secret knowledge. Then you can run around and tell everyone, God said, God told me, God told me. You have a very strange God. He's very confused. He doesn't know what he's saying. One day he tells one person one thing and that. No, that's why we have the Bible, to test everything. Well, people say that's not enough today. But if you get this revelation knowledge, it's going to solve every problem in the universe. Well, let's go cleanse our inner image. Do you know how ridiculous that sounds when you're testing according to what the Bible says? Cleanse your image center? So it's secret knowledge. Now we're going back into the eating from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We're going back to that secret knowledge that really is no good for you, because it's not going to do you any good. It's just going to put you in a realm of you listening to demonic spirits that are telling you things. Oh, God told me this and God told me that. By angels, visions, and dreams. How do you know it's not demonic? How do you know it's not a demon, doctrines of demons? Now, mysticism is a big thing that's happening right now. Mysticism is religious experiences. In fact, you have church service, you dim the lights, you go, you elevate yourself, you get into this right mood, and all of a sudden you're going to have the presence of angels come and speak to you. Do you see how dangerous this is? Because you're opening up yourself to things that are not real. They're demonic. They could be real, but they're demonic. And to having visions, religious experiences. This is happening now, being taught on our major television stations by a lot of rabbis. They're coming, and I think back of what did Jesus fight? What was his battle? Go look and see what Jesus really fought. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. We're having the same battle today. Religious experiences during alternate states of consciousness and receiving hidden truths. You get this special revelation. It's hidden truth by direct communication. It's not biblical faith. The Bible says, is he going to find faith when he comes back? When Jesus comes back, and that's another whole thing. Everybody's fighting over when he's coming back. Well, guess what? Jesus doesn't even know. The Father hasn't told him. But people think they can tell us and sell great DVDs, and they can. And don't be fighting over when Jesus is coming back. Just be ready. That's just a battle you don't need to fight. And if you're fighting it, then you're in the wrong lane. You're missing the boat. And you're easily deceived. So here, they're receiving these hidden truths by direct communion, rooted in experience. It's part of the secret religions. And a lot of the secret religions now are becoming mainstream, because they take truth and they put their mixture in, they put their poison in it, they put all these experience in it, and then everyone goes, wow, they heard from God, they saw Jesus. Well, they could be in total false light, thinking it's a real light. And this is the danger in this hour, is the false light. Because Satan is coming as a what? Angel. He's not going to come as darkness to the church. He's going to come as an angelic visitation, as a special word from God that only you really understand. Rooted in experience, not biblical faith. Wow, this is a time many are discouraged because of all the false doctrines that are going around. But we shouldn't be discouraged by that, even though we are, because Jesus told us in the end times, not just a few will be deceived, many. And then he says, take heed that no man deceive you. So that means men are going to deceive you. There's going to be a whole lot of lying going on in his name. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me. He never knew him. Because they're leading people astray. They're serving a different spirit. They're serving a different God. They're vibrating. They're vibrating and sending energy. All right, let me close with this. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes we just need to go to the Lord and say, I need a break. I need a break from whatever your work is, from whatever family battles you're going through. I just need to rest. Put on some, it's hard to find, good worship music that you just start thinking about him. Get your eyes off yourself. Get yourself away from your juniper tree. The broom, the sweeping, the mess, all the things that we're in. These can be distractions. And we can't do it alone. We can't make it. The strength is, or the journey is too hard for us, so we need the Lord. These false religions, they make it all about you and what you're experiencing. You don't need God. You really don't need anything. You're just a superhuman. That's part of the new age of what's coming and what's here. I should say it's not coming. It's here. It's manifesting. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If we're weary, we're not renewing. If we're too weary, we haven't come to the place of renewing our strength. We've let other things distract us. Hebrews 12:3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. When you get persecuted, when you get talked about, just remember what Jesus went through. Nothing compared to what we're going through. Just keep that focus. Get your eyes back on him. In Proverbs 3:11, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. It's hard when you see you've been deceived. You look back in your life, have you ever been deceived? But God corrected you. He woke you up. Don't faint now when you see you missed it. Oh, I missed it there, and I missed it there, and I blew it there. And you can end up going back under that juniper tree because you're weary with yourself. You start beating yourself up. For some reason, if you beat yourself up for a day, you just feel better? No. Well, that does no good. So get out from underneath that and just receive your forgiveness, and we all have to do it. We have to march on. It's a day we can't get weary in well-doing. Other people are looking to us. We got to stay strong in the Lord, not in ourselves. And the best way to do it is stop following these men, these visions, these strange add-ons to the Bible and takeaways from the Bible. And we're in for a whole bunch of signs and wonders that are going to be false, because that's what the Bible says, that Satan's going to come as an angel of light, and there's going to be signs and wonders. And if you're one that's not rooted and grounded in the Lord, you're going to be taken off by these false signs, false wonders, which we've already seen, a lot of us, the Kundalini spirit. We've all come through all that. Wow. People in India operating in that spirit weren't even saved, and we bring it in the name of God, and we all have these supernatural experiences. We've come through that. Hallelujah. And we can't get weary, because there's probably more to come, and we have to discern and try the spirits and not be weary in well-doing. Amen? Everyone said? To weary means to have the sense of pleasure in being exhausted from continual waiting. All of a sudden, it's tiring. I'm tired of this. I've waited and waited and no change. We're getting older. Sometimes we don't heal as fast. Different thing. I want to get healed. I want to feel good. We get weary in well-doing. Sometimes we have to make adjustments. You can't do as much as you used to do when you're 20. People, right? We have to make adjustments. I know I want to do it, but my back and my legs don't want to follow. So we make adjustments. Otherwise, we're going to be weary. If you don't adjust to your age, you're going to think you can keep doing what you used to do. And you're going to get weary because you're not going to see the results that you used to get. So we have to adjust and realize sometimes waiting, we got to wait a little longer. Think of how long Noah waited. So don't get weary in well-doing. Amen.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer-supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.